Morning, everybody. It's been a long time. This is my first time back since church closed, so it's quite emotional, actually, to see everyone. It's lovely to see familiar faces, and it's also always lovely to see new faces, so welcome. Obviously, this morning, well, not obvious, actually, because the video has not been played yet, but we are looking into Daniel and the Lion's Den. Okay, and I loved looking into this. I really need to study a bit more, but this has challenged me, so there we go. There's so much more to this story than just Daniel being thrown into a lion's den and surviving. And obviously, that's what we've looked into. And with the time frame we've got, there's actually so little that we can say, and there's so much. So I do encourage people to have a look into this story particularly. I'm going to start off with a fact that I found out through looking at this. And it's a fact that really changed the way that I looked at the story, and that is, some of you may know, you scholars may know, but Daniel was actually roughly 70 years old when he was thrown into the lion's den. Through obviously teaching in Sunday school and seeing videos and stuff, you always picture, well, I've always pictured this young, you know, man, but actually he was 70, grey hair probably, quite frail looking. But yeah, so I just thought I'd share that at the beginning, just because it might change your outlook on the story. Daniel was an amazing guy. I mean, I would have loved to have had this guy around me. In Daniel chapter 6, verses 3, 4, and 10, it tells us that he was faithful, trustworthy. He was not lazy, he didn't cheat anybody, and he did everything well. Daniel prayed faithfully three times every day, without fail. Now, I don't know about you, I can't say I'm that loyal, but I mean, what a challenge that somebody took it upon themselves to pray three times a day. Daniel did everything well. He always got to the top of the ladder. Whatever job he was doing, he did amazingly. He had a no-nonsense attitude, and this caused the people that worked with him to dislike him, and they wanted him gone. He was bad for business. Basically, the people he worked with collected taxes, and they were pocketing some of the money, and Daniel found out and basically did the one with them. So they didn't like that because they were losing out. And basically, they then went to King Darius. King Darius was the ruler at the time, and they persuaded him to bring in a law for 30 days where no one was allowed to pray to any other god or man other than King Darius. Now, this was tricky because King Darius actually really liked Daniel, but the way his colleagues went about it, he didn't realise what they were doing. So this law got put into place. So they used this law to test Daniel's faith. Did he serve God or did he serve the king? Daniel's faith was as strong as his character, if not more so. And he made no changes when this law came into place. Now, can I have Daniel 6, verse 10 up, please? When Daniel heard that the new law had been written, he went to his house. He went to the upstairs room. The windows of that room opened towards Jerusalem. Three times a day, Daniel got down on his knees and prayed. He prayed and thanked God just as he always did. Now, that, to me, floors me, because knowing that death was a result of being caught, he faithfully continued to pray. And he didn't just go into his room, into the corner, under a blanket and pray. He stood with that window open and continued to pray to God. His prayers had no hint or panic in, his prayers had no hint of panic or worry in them. In fact, he continued to pray prayers of thanksgiving to God, just as he always did. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't know if I would be so bold to be standing in an open window praying to a God that was going to get me put into a lion's den. But Daniel continued faithfully to do that. The faith of Daniel went through his bones. It's a bit of an old-fashioned saying, but it was in his bones. It was the only way they could get to Daniel. I mean, that speaks volumes to me. They knew they could get to Daniel because they knew how faithful and loyal and trustworthy he was to his faith with God. What a testimony. No matter what the end result of this situation, Daniel remained loyal, trustworthy, faithful and consistent. And I questioned this and just put the question, why? And looking into it, it's because Daniel treasured his relationship with God. It was important to him. In fact, it was the most important thing in his life. It was number one. His relationship with God was number one. Daniel felt honoured and privileged to walk with, talk with, and have such a connection with God. And that challenges me. Are we there? Is God number one in our lives? Do we trust him for everything? Daniel felt so honoured that this was worth any price to him, even death. This is why Daniel's relationship with God stood the test of time.
Thank you. Like Sarah said, Daniel remained faithful and loyal to God, continuing to pray as he previously had. And yet, God didn't make a way out before the lion's den. There was no way. In fact, it says when we read it that it was King Darius who set his mind to deliver Daniel. It says it was King Darius who laboured till the sun went down trying to find a way to rescue him. But despite all his efforts, the law could not be changed. It was so binding that not even a king could change it. And so we know that Daniel was thrown into the lion's den. Now, what struck me as I read the story of Daniel is that he still had to endure the night. So we know from the story there wasn't even a scratch on him, but we do know that he had to spend a considerable amount of time in the lion's den. And as I read it, it says about Darius's night more than what it does about Daniel's night. It says Darius had a terrible night of worry. It says he fasted and that sleep fled from him. So we know that King Darius had a sleepless night and a worryful night. But what about Daniel? He too had to endure this night. Endure, it says, means to suffer something difficult, unpleasant or painful. Now we know Daniel wasn't harmed by the lions. But we do know, as Sarah says, that he was a very old man, being thrown or cast into the lion's den. It doesn't say that they carefully lowered him into it, knowing his age. He was just thrown in the lion's den. So was Daniel fearful? If we're initially thrown into a situation or some dreadful circumstances, we can be initially overwhelmed by fear and panic and distress. Thinking back to the start of COVID-19, there was a lot of fear that surrounded us then. Everywhere we looked just looked like bad news, uncertainty. I mean, we ran out of toilet roll, so that was desperate times. But everywhere we looked was so, you know, terrible. I was fearful of what lay ahead, what lay ahead for me, what lay ahead for my family. It was a place of fear, and the enemy likes to keep us in those places of fear. So I think it would have been natural for Daniel, looking at these lions, knowing where he's going, to initially feel fear at going in there. Now, recently, I visited West Midlands Safari Park. And if you don't know, you probably have been, but if you don't know, you sit in your car and you're able to get up close and personal to the animals. You drive round, wind down your window. You don't, well, I don't wind down. I haven't got a wind down. It's a button, actually. So you wind down your window and you can feed the animals and it's great fun. The kids love it. You've got all these animals slobbering into your car and stuff, but the kids love it. And you can go around the lion enclosure and you make sure the windows are up then. Your doors are all locked. But they're pretty magnificent creatures. And it's lovely to be so close to these lions. You want them to come as close to the car so you can see them. But I wasn't taking any risks. I was making sure my doors were locked, the kids weren't winding down the windows. And I would not like to have spent a night in that enclosure. I think being, you know, even if I was in my car, I think spending a night there, knowing how many lions are there, if they jump up on your car, it's, you know, at night, it's dark, you can't see what's going on around you. So I think even in my car, it would have felt a pretty long night. So did Daniel feel like it was quite a long night? Did his heart beat every time a lion stretched or moved round him? Did he feel a little vulnerable to this danger that was around him? Sometimes when we're surrounded by trouble, it's easy to focus on the situation, and that keeps us in a place of fear. But what about as the night went on? Daniel at this point realises the lions haven't devoured him as quick as what he thought. And what we know of Daniel previously, that we know that he's a man who stayed close to God. We know that he knew that what the consequences would be if he went against the king's decree. Yet despite these warnings, he continued to pray and continued to give thanks. If we've got 1 Thessalonians 5:16, he did what it says in 1 Thessalonians. It says, always be joyful, never stop praying, be thankful in all circumstances. For this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. I think Daniel in the lion's den probably continued to pray through the night, continued to give thanks, because this is how he lived his life. This was the type of relationship he had with God. And we need to be like Daniel and fix our eyes on him and not what surrounds us. We need to keep praying, keep thanking, and be joyful. And this can be difficult, but it does say the joy of the Lord is our strength, and this is what keeps us strong. Psalm 23, it's a favourite of mine. This isn't normally the verse everyone likes, though. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for your rod and your staff, they comfort me. But what I like about this verse, it says, even though I walk through. It's not a place we're meant to stay in. We go through. Through the valley, Daniel went through the night. And morning came, and he didn't stay in that place. So when you're in a place like that, I just want you to be encouraged that you're not going to stay there. You will go through. And even as you go through the night or through the valley, you're not alone. But what about, where does it refer to the places that we stay? In Psalm 23, it says, he makes me lie down in green pastures. The good shepherd leads you to places of rest, and here you lie down. Here's where you stay. Here's where he restores your soul. The thing with nights is that another one usually comes round. Now, that doesn't sound very encouraging, so I'm sorry to say that, but it's what happens. We normally go through life, and there's normally another storm coming or something, another dark night, a time of trouble that tend to keep coming round. But it's just to encourage you not to be fearful of what lies ahead. Keep like Daniel. Keep praying, keep thanking, and be joyful in all circumstances. And as we do this, others see. When we read Daniel, it was King Darius who was the one it refers to as being exceedingly glad that Daniel was unharmed. It was Darius who declared at the end of Daniel 6 that the God of Daniel is the living God. It is the God of Daniel who delivers and rescues. So others see and are witness to the goodness of God in our lives. So I just want to encourage you, when you're having to endure the night like Daniel, remember you go through it. You won't stay there. Just stay close to God. And God, through the ages, has remained faithful and true, and he'll continue today, tomorrow, and always.